Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you are in the world. Welcome to the 38th Scottish Field podcast, released on Wednesday, the 2nd of March, 2022. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Kenny Smith and I'm the web editor of Scottish Field. And over the next 20 minutes or so, I'll be joined by comedian and farmer Jim Smith, no relation, to talk about his first foray into TV presenting on BBC Scotland's Loggerheads. Every month, Scottish Field brings you the best of all things Scottish. Heritage interiors, antiques gardens, wildlife motoring, whisky and country news, as well as interviews with famous Scots names. Our current issue is still in the shops for a couple more days before the new one is released, so if you've not got a copy yet, you'd better hurry down to the shops and get one. In the March edition, we meet Gordon Ramsay as the straight-talking multi-Michelin-starred celebrity chef and TV star talks about his new restaurant and why he always loves coming home to Scotland. JJ Fenton is a Royal Marine turned photography aficionado, and he shares some stunning snaps of Scotland, including the charming Highland Coo that graces our cover. We also meet Naomi Ray, the talented landscape artist who waxes lyrical about island life and rejoices in her ability to finally put down roots on the Isle of Arran. In our other features, we learn about Dunkeld-born nobleman William Drummond Stewart, who found an abundance of adventure in the Rockies. We look at the stories of inspirational Scots who have seen an epic challenge and jumped in headfirst. Borders-based artist Michelle De Bruin has crafted a beautiful abode for Marchmont House's nocturnal visitors in the Borders, while intrepid explorer and castaway TV star Mike Laird shares his credo and tells us of his epic adventures in 97 countries. In Homes and Gardens, Humby Dean Garden in East Lothian is a cacophony of colour in which the daffodils take centre stage, while an old farmhouse near Selkirk needed an upgrade and its owners tackled every single challenge head on. In wildlife, tree gossip and Mother Nature secrets are waiting to be revealed in the very air that we breathe. And in field sports, Ross Ewing asks why deer stalking isn't more openly available to qualified stalkers in National Forest estates. Our motoring column notes that despite its mundane exterior, Neil Linden finds the Suzuki Across a charming technical masterpiece. And in food, the mystery diner is delighted to have his preconceptions of Ayrshire's The Canny Crow challenged. In our regular columns, the fictional world is a dreamland for Alexander McCall Smith. Guy Grieve pauses for thought at an historic site where the bard himself once drank in the views. Fiona Armstrong partakes in a dreary pheasant shoot, but hasn't realised the shooting party's strict umbrella etiquette. Michael Wigan discusses two of the most hotly debated topics in angling, salmon farming and hatcheries, while sensory tasting experiences are on the rise, and our whisky expert Blair Bowman is among the first to explore the growing trend. So you can find all this and much, much more in the latest Scottish Field priced £4.75. To find out more about how to subscribe, just visit www.scottishfield.co.uk/subscriptions. Now, we're going to be joined by a guest who you may well have seen on the comedy scene, Jim Smith, who, as well as being a comic, is also a farmer in rural Perthshire. Jim is the host of Loggerheads, a new BBC Scotland show, which takes us into the great outdoors and around the Scottish countryside. It pits two teams against each other in a timed competition to create something spectacular from their freshly felled timber in just 24 hours. And as Jim is just about to tell us, think Great British Bake Off, but with chainsaws.
My name's Jim Smith. I'm a sheep and beef farmer from middle of rural Perthshire up near Blairgowrie, and also diversifying a bit of stand-up comedy and now TV presents.
Which is not a bad wee mix. There's a bit of variety in there. No 2 days should ever be the same then.
Aye, absolutely. There's never a dull moment. So, as I say, it's a miserable wet day to day, and normally I'd be pretty depressed about that, but I've been doing comedy stuff all morning, so it's fine. It's a great balance, you know, and I need the farming as well. I couldn't do, I think folk ask why don't you do comedy full time, but I would hate that, just going to gigs and then just sitting in the house all day. I need my farming, you know. The farming is still my first love, you know.
Of course. No, I know how tough it is doing comedy. I was a support act for Frankie Boyle back in 1996. And it was
tough.
Is
that right?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I supported Frankie back in May 96. It was tough going. When you're building up to him, it's just, that's a master of his craft. And
he is the, different. He's a different class altogether, isn't he? But you've got to try these things, you know, or you can't. Can't be sitting in your armchair, you know, when you're 80 and think, oh, I wish I'd tried stand-up comedy, you know, so you've got to go for it.
Yeah. So what's been keeping you busy on the farm of late?
We're just getting ready for lambing. We're going to be lambing about 14th, 16th of March. So we're just getting kind of pens and that organised for that. And we've been getting some fat lambs away as well. But we're actually, readjusting our farming business. We're putting our beef cows away. We had about 50 beef cows, but we're just trying to simplify things more. So we're just, because of the comedy and the TV stuff, so maybe I want to focus more on that and have time to do that. We can still run the farm and just put on more sheep and run that more simply, because the cows are quite a tie. They need fed every day. And also the price of fertilizer's tripled this year. And then fuel's in the rise as well, and I just think the cost involved for the return you get on beef cattle, it's not worth it just now. So perhaps when I'm old, grey, and not so funny or not so handsome, I can always put more cows on. They're going just now, and
yeah.
So that's what we're busy doing.
Excellent. How did your comedy career begin?
Well, I got a real buzz for it when I wasn't interested in it at school or that, but Young Farmers, we started doing Young Farmers pantomimes and concerts, and I got a real buzz of performing and also writing comedy as well. Always enjoyed watching comedy growing up telly. I could mix of stuff like Blackadder, Victoria Wood, the Two Ronnies, all that kind of stuff, but also like more traditional Scottish stuff like Scotland of Hawk was a big influence, Scotch and Rye and all that kind of stuff. So always had a passion for it, but never done it with it. And then I was wanting to start a sketch group. I'd been in my late 20s, early 30s at this point, and they started trying to write sketches, but I couldn't get anyone to do it with. But it turned out to be a good thing, and then I just applied. I noticed that the stand were doing, because I'd never thought of stand-up, but the more I was trying to write, think of funny stuff, the more I thought about, you know, a joke, I thought, oh, that would work on a stand-up set. So I just applied for 5 minutes at the Red Raw nights in Glasgow, at the Glasgow stand. And I got 2 5-minute slots, so that was in 2012 November. I just started from there. Got a real buzz for it, and so it's just progressed from there. Really, I haven't really gigged properly for about 2.5 years, but we're getting back into a tour now, and but I've had a baby daughter with another one on the way as well. So it's just been a bit of a life change, you know. But getting back into kind of writing and performance, a good challenge, you know.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's this new string to your bone, presenting with Loggerheads. How did that come about?
Oh, well, I'm just so chuffed I got the opportunity. Kirsten from Mighty Productions, who produced it, just got in touch with me out of the blue. That would be about 2 years ago, actually, just as before COVID was kicking off, wondering about this TV show about woodworkers in the wood, and they like me to present it. And I was always quite keen to get into that kind of presenting. Well, I hadn't really thought about it, but I thought, you know, any opportunity, you know, and it just sounded right up my street, you know, because it was outdoors, it was Scottish, it was about woodwork, and not that I do a lot of woodwork, I can make good firewood things and sheep pens and that, but I had a genuine interest in it, so I thought it would be a great opportunity for me, but I had no idea how good the show was going to turn out. I mean, I did, once I got there on set, but we got filming, I thought this could be amazing, but I was just blown away by when I saw it Duel last week. I was so impressed. I'm really glad I got the opportunity and really glad I grabbed the opportunity, because it just adds another strength to my bow, and hopefully, you know, hopefully we'll get another few series out of this as well, but it, you know, you never know what it might lead to, you know.
Yeah. For those who haven't seen it yet, and I strongly recommend that they do watch, how would you describe the show and its format?
Well, I guess it's a bit like for a start, it's kind of warm, cosy, kind of telly that I think we're needing just now. I guess it's off the back of, well, I call it Bake Off with Chainsaws, but you know, there's Bake Off, there's the Sewing Bee, there's a glass blowing one, there's the all these kind of competitive things. That's how I describe it. It's a bit like Scrappy Challenge and things like that. So, yeah, there's definitely a demand for that kind of thing just now. You know, repair shop, that kind of thing. And it's a brilliant show. Just the fact that they're taking timber, you know, trees that need to come down, and they're using that same wood to make stuff for like benches or stuff that the community can use in these community woodlands. And at the same time, that opens up more space to plant, you know, broadleaf trees and that. So, yeah, but I just think that that whole, I don't know what's the official term for the programmes, competition or something, competitive programming or something. But in fact, there's two teams making something beautiful every episode. It fits in really well with the show. And also, just the way it's shot as well, you know, the Dan, the campman, they're using the drones, and there's some stunning scenery because we're up Thurso, Peebles, Stirling, Coon, Guy, and over in Argyll as well. Just some stunning locations. So I think it sits very well. You know, it's kind of like Landward, like an outdoor show, that kind of thing. I really like it. I mean, I'm a big fan of that kind of outdoor. I'm a big fan of like Paul Mutt's show. You know, his Lochs and Glens. I've been watching Ian Robertson Rambles and all that kind of stuff. Because us farmers like to rake about the countryside, so, you know, and I like being outdoors. So I'm just delighted to be part of it. I think it fits very well.
Yeah, and you're not the only regular on the show either.
No, there's the two team captains, there's three folk in every team, but the two team captains are the same. Lindsay and Vicente. So Lindsay just lives along the road from me, actually. Not that I knew that at the time. And Vicente. So they're consistent, but their teams change now and again. And they all bring different skills. It's a bit like the Avengers, if they were carpenters, because they've all got different skills. Because they've got, like, Alice, who you'll see in this next episode on Thursday, she makes wood carvings out of chainsaws, out of wood, like owls and squirrels and all that kind of stuff. And then Lindsay's very talented with doing her pyrography, you know, that kind of like writing and doing designs in the wood. And then Vicente, who's just this big, he's originally from Mexico, he's a big Mexican with a big axe and machete. He likes the big kind of cumbersome proper lumberjack stuff. So it's not like Bake Off for that, where somebody gets voted off every week. It's just each episode's an individual competition, and they compete for the golden axe, which is a fine trophy.
I do like the description of this. It's like Avengers assemble with carpentry, but of course in this case the assembling has a completely different meaning at the end, as they're assembling their creations.
And just to see that, you know, I was there the day before to chop the tree down, and then the two lumberjacks, Kirsty and Sam, they would mill it all on site to the spec that the teams wanted it, and get it all. It would come together. So by the end of day one, there'd just be a pile of wood all over the shape. And then the beginning of day two, it would gradually come together. You'd see the designs come together. And of course, there was no cheating. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, there was no glue or no nails glue or anything like that. It was all dovetailed joints and pegs. Everything was made from the wood that they had. You know, Lindsay even used like little bits of branches to carve it out to make a little thing for holding the flowers and things. You know, nothing was wasted. And just seeing them out of their comfort zone as well, because they were all obviously in workshops and used to being inside. And there was a few wet days as well, but they had to kind of they just cope with that, you know, especially one team had a lot of power tools, things like that. Whereas the other team, Vicente's team, are a bit more traditional. They had a guy, Phil, who was on the first episode, who's a wheelsmith, I think they call the trade. So he's officially trained to make like wagon wheels, traditional wagon wheels. I don't mean the chocolate biscuit, I mean the actual wheels that would go in a wagon. So he brought sort of a lot of traditional things, like they made a, in fact, I think it was in the first episode, they made a kind of lathe out of just by tying a bit of string to a springy branch in a tree and using his foot, and they were able to make, you know, carve out round poles with a chisel just by traditional methods. So seeing all that come together was just a joy for me, because I've always had an interest in, well, I like making stuff at home.
The thing that I particularly like, and you touched on it earlier, is the fact that what they create stays in the communities where the trees have come down. It was a really nice touch, rather than sort of being whisked off for whatever may happen to things in other shows. But here it's very much something, and people can go and see it, it's something tangible.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're all community woodlands. So, and like so the, some of the woodlands, some of them are great for like school kids doing a lot of tours in, but the opening show, the one at Peebles there, that was used for a lot of drug rehabilitation. So a lot of people would come out, folk with real issues, but they would, you know, spend the day planting trees and just spending time in the woodland and close to nature. So the fact they could use these same benches or day beds or whatever that was, it's a real win-win, you know. So it's really useful. And they're pretty big, lumbersome bits of timber, so nobody's going to pinch them anyway, but they'll last a long, long time.
But for those who are looking to keep up to date with you, Jim, where can they find you on social media?
Oh, well, I need to do more, actually, but they can follow me on Twitter at Stand Up Farmer on Twitter, or I do have a Jim Smith Facebook page, but I am needing to get on to Instagram and TikTok as well. Apparently, I need to do more my kind of farm diary videos on that, get that, but just so busy just now. But yeah, you can follow me on Facebook, but especially on Twitter, at Stand Up Farmer. I've got a new tour coming out, a stand-up tour in the autumn, entitled The Hills of Eyes. That's Eyes spelled A-A-Y-E-S. So we'll be around various places all over Scotland. So Inverness, Elgin, Aberdeen, we're in Dundee, we're in Falkirk, we're in Dunfermline, and we're at Dunoon, Kilmarnock, I sound like a train station, Kelso, Dumfries, and have I missed it? Oban, we're going to Oban as well. So, and Perth, of course, they're finishing up my hometown. So just busy trying to write stuff for that. Please come and see me if you like your kind of rural entertainment, but hopefully it's stand-up that, although it's very kind of rural-based, that a lot of city folk gladly come and watch it and explain it in a way that they get it all as well. So they're kind of playing the village idiot thing quite well. So it's they seem to get a decent response. So if you like something different, come and see it. You know, you don't have to wear a check shirt, optional.
Definitely, Bill. And hopefully we'll get a wee chat nearer the time and get you back on the podcast then when it's all ready to go.
That'd be great. But yeah, tune in to Loggerheads, because I think it's a great show, and as I say, I'm really proud to be part of it. And yeah, I think it'll do very well.
Fingers crossed that the ratings are good, and Series 2 will get commissioned before too long, and you can enjoy the great outdoors when it's dry.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Jim, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kenny. Thanks, mate. Good to talk to you.
New episodes of Loggerheads are broadcast on BBC Scotland on Thursday nights, and there's a repeat the following Monday on BBC One Scotland. And if you've missed any episodes, you can catch up on the BBC iPlayer. Talking of all things online, you can follow Scottish Field on our social media. You can find us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/Scottish Field. We have a Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Scottish Field. Or you can see our Instagram page at www.instagram.com/Scottish Field Mag with M-A-G at the end. And of course, you can pop by our website, www.scottishfield.co.uk, which contains unique content that you won't find in the print magazine, as well as links to purchase the magazine online in physical and digital formats. That's all we've got time for this week, but we'll be back very soon with another episode of the Scottish Field Podcast. Be seeing you.